His divine grace is the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Gaura Premanandi. Nice to be back in Alachua. And I don't know if you understand how fortunate you are, but I'm sure in many, many, many ways, Mukhya's leadership is something you should be very grateful for. And I've never heard anybody make announcements like she makes announcements. You're very fortunate to have such a gifted leader. And what a variety or an array of personalities. This is the Sunday program, and I was told there'll be some new people here, so those of you that have been around for umpteen years, be prepared for something that will be of interest, but also is customized for newer people a little bit. Coming this week, Lord Nrsingadev's appearance, so we're going to be speaking about Lord Nrsingadev. And just covering a couple of the prayers of Prahlad from Canto, the seventh canto, chapter 9, prayers of Prahlad. So here's a nice photograph of the Nrsingadev deity in Tridham Mayapur, and a few quotes just to get us ready for receiving Lord Nrsingadev. In the Nrsinga Purana, Lord Nrsingadev says, "Anyone who prays unto me and takes shelter of me becomes my ward, and I protect him always from all sorts of calamities. In case calamities come your way, you know what to do, right? Take shelter of Lord Nrsingadev, and he'll always be there to protect you from all sorts of calamities." Our gratitude goes to our founder Acharya. For many of us, if not all of us, we wouldn't know anything, about spiritual life, what to speak of, specifically Lord Nrsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. So we're offering our gratitude unto our founder Acharya. I want to share something with you. It's a little off topic, but it's nice anyways. It's on the topic of Prabhupada. 2 weekends ago, there was Akshaya Tritiya on Saturday. Was it 2 weekends? 1 weekend ago. 1 weekend ago. So there was a grand opening of a new temple in the suburbs of Chicago. I was there. And there's on the Vyasa sign here is a nice murti of Srila Prabhupada along with the deities that were installed. There's a very nice murti of Prabhupada that's different than the same size But go to the website and see Srila Prabhupada Murti, and he has a very gentle smile. It was a new Murti made specifically for this temple, because the temple president and the Murti maker were appreciating one another so much. He made a special Murti for the Naperville temple. And I'm sure molds can be made in the future. But somebody that saw the Murti, they said, he smiled at me. Because Prabhupada's look on the Vyasa-san here, he's very serious, which is nice. And of course there he's smiling, looking at a book publication, because he loved book publication so much. But a gentle smile, it's very nice, Murti. So, Lord Nrsimhadev is one of the Leela avatars of the Supreme Lord. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time, now particularly slowly because there's newer people here, I was told. And everyone now in the world knows the word avatar. They probably have a different idea of what avatar means. Almost for certain they have a different idea. Just in communication with some devotees from China, they sent me the flyer of the movie was translated into Chinese. I don't know how they did it, subtitles or something. But you know, all the fantastic film photography. So avatar is not just a movie. Avatar is a Sanskrit word that means one who descends. Descends from where? Descends from the spiritual world into this world. And in the discussion, a little image on the upper left corner, that's Sanatana Goswami. In Lord Chaitanya's discussions or talks with Sanatana Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he outlines the six types of avatars of Krishna. So the first of those six is listed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Purusha avatars. Purusha avatars are forms of Vishnu. Specifically, the Purusha avatars are engaged in the affairs of creation. There's three of them, without burdening new people too much. There's Vishnu is a form of Krishna that is involved in the process of creation. Vishnu. So Purusha avatars, and then Leela avatars. There's many, 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 and we're going to see shortly a painting of the 10 most celebrated Leela avatars. The 10 most celebrated Leela avatars includes Lord Nrsimhadev and others we'll see shortly. But there are many others besides them, but these 10 were celebrated particularly by a great Vaishnava who wrote a song glorifying Das Avatar Stotra, the 10 principal Leela avatars, just like the Nrsimha prayers that we sing after every arti, is one of those 10. So that's Lord Nrsimhadev, is one of those 10 Leela avatars. And Guna avatars. Guna, one of the translations of Guna is the modes of nature. So there's three modes of nature, and there's an avatar responsible for each one of those three modes of nature. So Guna avatars. So now we have three. Purusha avatars, Leela avatars, Guna avatars, and the fourth, this is now just cut and paste from Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. Manvantar avatars. For new people, I hope it isn't circuit overload. But Manus are the law givers of mankind, and it's a very important personality. It's a post, so different persons occupy the post of Manu. And during each day, there's a certain number of Manus, and they rotate each day of Brahma. So Manus are the givers of law for mankind. So Manvantar avatars. That makes four. Then number five. I hope it works. It's not moving. There we go. Two of them at a time. Yuga avatars. There's four yugas. So there's a form of the Lord that oversees each of the four yugas. And then Shakyavesh avatars. Those who are empowered personalities who oversee a certain function. So rather than detailing and detailing, well, I'll give one. It's real easy. One of the potencies of the Supreme Lord is ruling. Palana Shakti. Shakti means potency. So one living entity, Prithu Maharaj, is empowered to rule. So he's an empowered incarnation, a Shaktivesh avatar, etc. So rather than making a long list, there's six categories of avatars, and Lord Nrsingadev falls in the category number two that you see up the top, and that's the Leela avatars. And here's a nice painting showing the 12. In the upper left corner, is it an image big enough for you to see it? Yes? It's okay. I'm used to bigger screens than that one, but that's okay. So that's Lord Nrsingadev. And what's Lord Nrsingadev doing? He's pouncing on Hiranyakashipu and letting him have it because he was torturing Prahlad. Vamana, next to him. Vamana is a Leela avatar, a form of the Lord that appeared as a young Brahmin boy, not just a young Brahmin boy, but a dwarf Brahmin boy, and he was engaged in bringing Bali Maharaj to the point of full surrender, which was very nice of him. Parashuram with a big chopper on the upper right side. Just below Parashuram, Lord Ramachandra. Just below Ramachandra is Krishna and Balaram. Krishna's there lifting Govardhan Hill. And in the bottom right corner is Lord Buddha. Buddha is one of the Leela avatars of the Supreme Lord. And going across, riding on a white horse, carrying a big sword, that's Kalki. Oh, look at that, it got bigger. Kalki avatar. And over to the left corner, that's the fish or Matsya avatar. Directly above Matsya avatar is Kurma avatar. And what's above that one? That's Lord Varaha, who's dealing with Hiranyakashipu's brother, Hiranyaksha. So those are the 12 principal Leela avatars, one of whom is Lord Nrsingadev. So we're going to hear a little bit more about Lord Nrsingadev, especially if the laser pointer makes it move. There we go. So there's Prahlad offering a garland to Lord Nrsingadev. And there's Lord Nrsingadev. In this case, he's putting his arm around Prahlad, but in the verse that we read earlier today, he placed his hand on Prahlad's head. Either way, pretty fantastic, pretty intimate. And Prahlad is fearless. Looks like he's standing on a little table there to get the garland over Lord Nrsingadev's head. Here's a nice statement. Prahlad's Nrsingadev grants the power to destroy all obstacles on the path of devotional service. Now, some of you have been around a while and some of you are new. And some of you have been around a while, you know that in the non-devotional procedures or Karmakanda section of the Vedas, there's a person who's very involved in removing obstacles for achieving material purposes through rituals, and that's Lord Ganesh. Lord Ganesh has the function of removing obstacles for achieving the purpose of a Karmakanda ritual. There's a nice verse in Brahma Samhita that says, on top of the head of Ganesh, there's two protrusions. Bhaktisiddhanta's language is tumuli. There's two bumps on the top of an elephant's head. And those two bumps on the top of the elephant's head, Ganesh, he's receiving the lotus feet of Lord Nrsingadev, so he gets the power to remove obstacles for Karmakanda rituals. But if you're not a Karmakanda ritual person, if you're a devotee, you just go to Lord Nrsingadev. And what does Lord Nrsingadev do? This is what Lord Nrsingadev does. He removes obstacles in the path of your achieving your devotional purposes. And obviously the devotional purpose is different than a material one. The devotional purpose is becoming closer and closer and closer to the unmixed stage of loving devotion to the personality of Godhead. So Lord Nrsingadev is a good person to go to help you overcome obstacles on your path. There's a very wonderful book amongst many wonderful books in our Vaishnav library. This particular book was written by Rupa Goswami called Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Laghu Bhagavatamrita is focused on one thing. It's describing avatars, which is our topic, right? And of the different categories and categories and categories of avatars, the book is about that thick, and the BBT has published it, and Rupa Goswami has explained what I'm about to share with you. There's a very special position of Lord Nrsingadev and Lord Ramachandra amongst all the avatars, not just the Leela avatars, but amongst all the avatars or forms of the Lord that appear in this world. And according to Laghu Bhagavatamrita, there are six opulences of Bhagavan. Is that right? Anyone get a nod? Yes, there's six opulences. There's the six opulences. Look. Knowledge, strength, renunciation, fame, wealth, and beauty. Those are opulences. Those are bhagas. And one who possesses opulences or bhagavas is called Bhagavan. Van means one who possesses. Look at this, he's got a special highlight. Knowledge, strength, renunciation, fame, wealth, and beauty. So according to Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Lord Nrsingadev and Lord Ramachandra both possess all opulences of Bhagavan in full. However, distinct from them is Lord Krishna, who is the source of them. Well, let's back up a little bit. What's being said here? This question came up the other day about sometimes speaking of the Super Soul as Lord Vishnu. That's one of the Purusha avatars. Vishnu is in the category of a Purusha avatar, one of the six categories of avatars. So sometimes Vishnu is described as the personality of Godhead. So the question was raised, how do you use this term personality of Godhead? And the answer is, Prabhupada would use that term differently from circumstance, because Bhagavan has many expansions. How many expansions? Too many to count, that's how many. Like waves in a river. How many waves are there in a river? There must be some finite number, but it's too many to count. So, unlimited number of waves in a river. Unlimited numbers of incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Some of them are manifesting a portion of the opulence of Bhagavan. Some of them are exhibiting a greater portion of the opulence of Bhagavan. However, Ram and Nrsinga manifest the fullness of the opulences of Bhagavan, unlike any of the other forms of the Lord that appear in this world, of the other avatars. Is it clear? They have a very special position. And so there's a nice Sanskrit word that's in red letters. Paravastha. This is from Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. where he's describing paravastha, the different degrees of manifestation of opulence. They're manifest in their fullness in Lord Nrsingadev and Lord Ramachandra. The example is given of a lamp. It's right in that verse. The lamp, from the lamp, other lamps are lit. We do this in Diwali, you know, Damodar Leela, in the month of Damodar, we offer lamps to Lord Damodar. So from one lamp, another lamp is lit, and then from that lamp, another lamp is lit, and so forth. So each of the successive lamps has equal luminosity or equal 1 foot candle power, equal power. So this is what this image is meant to show. In the center, you see a nice painting of Krishna holding his flute. And over to one side, there's Lord Ramachandra, and there's the other side is Lord Nrsingadev. So they give equal light, or they give equal power, they have equal opulence as Krishna. Unlike the others, they have opulence, but they don't manifest it in its fullness, as does Lord Ramachandra and Lord Nrsingadev. This is a teaching from Padma Purana. A little bit more about Lord Nrsingadev. Again, drawing, this is the cover page, or cover image, of Lagu Bhagavatamrita. In the Nrsinga Tapani Upanishad, it is said, Lord Nrsingadev resides both in Janaloka and in Vishnuloka. Did you know that? I didn't know that. But Rupa Goswami knows that. So where's Janaloka anyways? Janaloka. According to the fifth canto Srimad Bhagavatam, there's 7 lower planetary systems, 7 upper planetary systems, and Janaloka as one of those planetary systems is above heaven, or Swarga. Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka, above the heavenly realm. So according to Lagu Bhagavatamrita, the Upanishad, Nrsinga Tapani Upanishad says, he not only resides, Lord Nrsingadev not only resides in Vaikuntha, he certainly resides in Vaikuntha, but he also has a place he receives worship in Janaloka. And his devotees there worship him. Here's a nice teaching I like very much. The drawing is a drawing of Sridhar Swami. He's the earliest, or you can say the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he has written the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 111 Bhagavatam. And the longest chapter in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is chapter 87 of Canto 10, Prayers by the Personified Vedas. If you want to get bewildered, start reading that one. It's very long and very involved, and you need to have, you know, very advanced understanding of Krishna consciousness to get through that chapter. But Sridhar Swami put the same verse in those two places describing Lord Nrsingadev, and he writes, let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Nrsingadev, who is always enlightening Prahlad Maharaj within his heart, and who always kills the nescience that attacks the devotees. His mercy is distributed like moonshine, and his face is like that of a lion. Let me offer my obeisances unto him again and again. So Sridhar Swami was an ardent lover and worshipper of Lord Nrsingadev. Here's a few verses to help us understand the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, the circumstance of his being unable to bear the harassment and torture that Prahlad was being subjected to by Lord Nrisingadev, by Hiranyakashipu. So he appeared from the pillar and began to roar very loudly. The hair on Nrisingadev's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Bhagavatam. Airplanes were thrown into outer space, and the upper planetary system by the hair on Nrisingadev's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illumination. I've drawn these verses directly from Nagu Bhagavatamrita, but it's right from Srimad Bhagavatam itself. It's just glorification of Lord Nrisingadev's appearance. The slide changer is not moving. There we go. So there's Lord Nrisingadev doing his thing with, yes, moving forward, with Hiranyakashipu across his lap, Lord Nrisingadev, and above Lord Nrisingadev you see Anantashesh, and very quietly with folded palms in the back corner there, that's Prahlad, appreciating the kindness of Lord Nrisingadev to give him protection. Let's move forward. Though ferocious, he is cool as the moon for his devotees. And one more. Sridhar Swami says, although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisingadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Okay, so now we're ready, I think, for the next verses. There's a nice painting of Prahlad, and he's going to be continue to offer some nice prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. And the slide is not advancing. Can you help? There we go. This is the Prahlad Maharaj in Sridham Mayapur, at the base of the deity of Lord Nrisingadev you saw in the very first slide. It's Chandan Yatra. He has nice sandalwood paste all over. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the Parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. And I underlined it, so I'll say it again. One will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the Parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. So we're headed for a nice festival that will help us understand the mode of spiritual life, how to carry out our devotional service in a way that's ideal. At least he's setting that standard. One more, can we go back? This thing moves on its own. I didn't have to click anything. In accepting this mode of activity, there's no need for material qualifications. One of the important teachings for us, and one of the important teachings related to the story of Prahlad Maharaj, is that material qualifications aren't needed, fortunately for us. Material qualifications aren't needed. What's needed? Well, mercy is needed, and a desire to receive that mercy is needed. And when you receive mercy, what do? You engage in some service. And the service unto the subpersonality of Godhead. That's the teaching of Prahlad Maharaj. So here's, we're just going to be discussing two verses, and they're short and they're very sweet. Nija Labha Purno is in big letters. And the Nija Labha Purno, can we go to the... This slide changer isn't doing anything. Help. Can you make it go forward? There we go. It just disappeared off the screen. What to do? Could you help me with this? Somebody that knows how this little device works. The image just disappeared from my screen. Can you make it reappear? Oh, very good. This is high tech, and I'm not a high tech guy. I just touched the screen and everything went away. Huh? I don't know. Oh, okay. Tap, tap, and now it's good. Okay. Nija Labha Purno. Nija Labha Purno. He's always satisfied in himself. That's Lord Rishingadev. The personality of Godhead doesn't need anything from anyone. He's always full. He's fully satisfied. Nija Labha Purno. However, when something is offered to him, the offering, by the Lord's mercy, is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, I like the example. If one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. It's something like, there's two something likes. One is putting on tilak. Many of us put on tilak. So when you put on tilak, you can't see your forehead, but you can see the reflection of your forehead in the mirror. So you're putting tilak on your forehead, but you're just seeing the reflection. Is it going on? So is it, as you're seeing, it's going on in the reflection, it's going on your forehead. Or look closely, you probably did already, at the deities. And the deity of Shyamasundar, there's the place where his garment ends, and it's kind of like just below his kneecap. And then just below his kneecap, there's nice decorations on his calf. And it looked like a garment, but it's not the garment. It's the pujaris that made very nice, colorful decorations on his calf, on his leg. So Prabhupada explained in this way, when you're decorating the deity, the devotee that's decorating the deity is decorating himself. I mean, the deity doesn't need anything. But the nice decorations that are placed upon the deity, or these nice decorations upon the calf of Shyamasundar, the deity is being decorated, but there's the pujari that's decorating the deity that's being decorated. They're being decorated by that devotion. There's feelings of love that are being expressed for the deity, and the devotee is being decorated by that devotion, expressing their devotion unto the deity. Isn't it nice? It's the way bhakti works. And that's what Prahlad is teaching us, how bhakti works. The Lord doesn't need anything. He's Nija Labha Purno. But he accepts our service. So he's going to be accepting some praise and some prayers and some honorifics from Prahlad. And the Lord doesn't need anything, but it's the decoration of Prahlad by doing this. And he gives this example. One's face, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. So there's a lady, there's the mirror. You don't see the lady, you just see the reflection of the lady in the mirror. But as the mirror is showing the reflection of the lady, so she's decorated, the mirror is also being decorated. This is what Prahlad is teaching us. Next, can we go forward? This service of glorifying the Lord by hearing, chanting, and so on is not, Prabhupada's purport, meant for the benefit of the Lord, semicolon. The devotional service is recommended for the benefit of the devotee. Now, the devotee isn't thinking it's for my benefit. The devotee is thinking I'm making an offering to the Lord, just like the devotee that made this fantastic, nice decoration on the calf of Shyamasundara, and whoever made the nice outfit for the deities too, a fantastic outfit. So that the outfit and the decorations on his calf are the offerings to the deity form of the Lord, and the devotees that did these nice services, they're being decorated by devotion and devotional quality and devotional character. They're being decorated by decorating the deity. Prabhupada directly explaining like this. So same, the offering of Prahlad's prayers, or step back a little bit and just our hearing this whole in preparation for Lord Nrsimhadeva's appearance day, hearing glorifications of Prahlad unto Lord Nrsimhadeva, we're hearing it, we're becoming spiritually decorated by Prahlad's offering of wonderful prayers, and he's a pure devotee. We're not. But we're, by hearing his glorifications, our qualification to become pure devotees is being enhanced just by that glorification. That's the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, the perfect listener, Maharaj Prikshit, were the audience seated behind Maharaj Prikshit, hearing this discussion, and we're benefiting. Like Prahlad is describing, how one becomes benefited. Next. We're the reflection. God is the Supreme Person, and we're His reflection. Prabhupada would like to say, man is created in the image of God. That's what the Bible speaks like this. Man is created in the image of God. Man is made in the image of God. Next. When Krishna is decorated, the devotees and all living entities are decorated automatically. So within this county, there's a nice temple. And the nice temple has many devotees connected to this nice temple. And many guests come to the temple. And as Mukhi was saying, some people can't come. So there's live stream, there's going out live, and then they're recorded and people can hear them later. So many, many people throughout this geographic area are being benefited. I was told on the way over here, some people are here, some people live remotely so they can't come, so they're hearing however they're hearing. But the cenosure of a temple is a place where people can hear, chant, remember, and associate with devotees and serve devotees and hear the topics of Krishna. And that way, the devotee that's speaking is benefiting, and the persons who are hearing are benefiting. It's exactly what Srila Prabhupada was told by Bhaktisiddhanta. So I'll say it. Bhaktisiddhanta said it twice. So by your going to the West, you will benefit, and they will also benefit simultaneously. By coming to the temple, we will benefit, and others that are remote, they're also benefiting because of technology, they get a chance to hear and see. And sometimes come to the temple and get prasadam too. That's pretty hard to do virtually. Maybe we'll figure it out one day. Okay, here's the next verse, the final verse for this evening. The final line, Puyeta yenahi puman anu varnitena. So one can become purified by this process of hearing. Although I was born in a demoniac family, I may, without a doubt, offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glory. This is the Shravanam Kirtanam message being presented right within Prahlad's prayers. Shravanam Kirtanam means, Shravanam means hearing, Kirtanam means vibrating. Shravanam Kirtanam. So, doesn't matter your background, good fortune, ill fortune, birth, this, that, the other, doesn't matter. Material qualification doesn't matter. It says the process of hearing and chanting matters. And of course, there's the qualitative hearing, qualitative chanting, that matters. But the sound vibration is the principal means of carrying us from disqualification to qualification. And that's what's being described in this verse. Prabhupada's purport. None of one's material qualifications, high family, to be rich, to be aristocratic, or to be very beautiful. You recognize those four? Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. You familiar with that verse? Queen Kunti's prayers? You know who's Queen Kunti, right? Yeah. So she offered a prayer to Krishna that one may have the decorations of those four, Janma, good birth, Aishwarya, rich, opulent, Aishwarya, rich, aristocratic family, and very beautiful. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta. Shruta means education. And Shri, beauty. Someone has those material qualifications doesn't make one eligible for devotional service. Or not having those qualifications doesn't make one ineligible for devotional service. What's required? With devotion, one should feel God is great, Prabhupada's purport, and I am very small, therefore my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. Only on this basis can one understand and render service to the Lord. So the upper left is the material opulence, and the upper right, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many of you recognize the painting. In Puri, he's engaged in cleansing, like a simple man, cleansing the Gundicha temple in preparation for Lord Jagannath to come and stay there for some time. So anyone, everyone can be engaged in cleaning the temple of the Supreme Lord. And no material qualification is needed, just arms and legs. And making the place very clean for the Supreme Lord. Last slide. This is a verse that Prabhupada is quoting in the purport, where he's saying that the qualification for understanding Krishna in truth is devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmitattaha. One can understand Krishna only through the medium of devotional service, and this way enter into the kingdom of God. Vishate tadanantaram. So Prahlad is teaching the same thing, no surprise, because he's teaching the way of pure devotional service. I'm going to end here with just one little statement I like very much. This is, we're reading verses from chapter 9 of Canto 7. In chapter 10 of Canto 7, after Prahlad finishes his wonderful prayers, Lord Nrisingadev says, "You please me very much by your wonderful prayers. I want to give you a benediction. Anything at all that you like, it's yours." And that chapter 10 begins where Prahlad says, "Please don't make that request, because that means I do something for you, you do something for me, and that's a business relationship." No, it's not a business relationship. It's only one thing. What's the one thing? You're the master, I'm the servant, and there's nothing else between us. And right after that he says, "You sent me here from the spiritual world to teach the way of pure devotional service." So that's the way of pure devotional service. There's nothing between us and the Supreme Lord other than he's the master or the servant. And that's it. So there some indication of what is the desire of the Supreme Lord? Let's do it. And if it's with some difficulty, let's do it. If with whatever the circumstance, let's do it. You know, sometimes it's difficult. That's okay, let's do it. That needs the willingness to be in that mood of loving service. That's what's required in the way of pure devotional service. So back to that nice, I like that quote. And I don't have the option of going back to that nice quote. Can you go back to the image where Prahlad Maharaj is over on the right side and he's decorated with sandalwood paste on the altar in Mayapur, and there's it's Canto 7, chapters. There we go. I'd like to read it again. We'll end with this. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the Parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. In accepting this mode of activity, there's no need for material qualifications. So we're being introduced to the way of pure devotional service, or Prabhupada is writing it here, understanding the mode of spiritual life. May you have great happiness in the next few days preparing for Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance day. Read his nice prayers. May your hearts become filled with the mode of spiritual life. Compliments of Prahlad Maharaj. Just take shelter of his lotus feet and try to be close to him. Emulate. Learn how to serve like he serves. So we're done. Let's see if there's some... Is there time for... Have I gone past time already? Is there time for discussion? Mukti's not around, so I guess there's time for discussion.
Krishna and Lord Chaitanya come only once in the day of Brahma. What avatars come in the other Dwapara and Kali Yugas?
I couldn't follow the question. Could you help me again? Oh.
Krishna comes once in the day of Brahma. Krishna comes once in the day of Brahma and Lord Chaitanya comes once in the day of Brahma.
So Krishna comes once in the day of Brahma.
And Lord Chaitanya comes once in a day of Brahma.
Lord Chaitanya comes once in a day of Brahma.
So who was the name of the avatar that comes in the Dwarpa and Kali?
You want to know how frequently Lord Nrisimhadeva comes?
No.
That's not what you're asking.
He wants to know which avatar is coming in Dwarpa Yuga and which is coming in Kali Yuga.
Which incarnation is coming in Dwarpa Yuga? Do you understand the question?
Lord Chaitanya comes.
If you understand the question, why don't you answer the question? I don't understand the question.
Yeah, it's the question can be a little more high order, and that is, do the incarnations come in all the Chaturyugas, or did do all come just in one day of Brahma, the Das avatars? I mean, that could be there, but he was asking. Who came in Dwarpa and who came in Kali? So in Dwarpa Yuga was Lord Krishna, and in Kali Yuga is Buddha, and Kalki will come later on. You know, and of course Lord Chaitanya came as a hidden incarnation.
Thank you very much.
If it's that. But I have a question. Like I said,
you probably have the answer.
We have a thousand ages in the day of Brahma, right? So.
A thousand yuga cycles. Yes.
Right. So these Das avatar, I mean, they come just once, or they came many times? Or
many times.
Many times.
Many times. Okay, there's a question up front here.
There was an accident.
Huh?
Okay. I have a question. There was... Avatars, the most 10 Yes. 12 avatars?
Yes, yes.
And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
is not shown here.
Yeah, he's not shown there. And why? Because he brought something very specific, and he brought bhakti, and he's not there. He is an avatar.
That's correct.
But he is, he, can you bring light on this?
Sure. There's the image. So this is it's an illustration of a well-known fact, which is there are 10 principal Leela avatars of the Supreme Lord. I'll say it again. 10 principal Leela avatars. Leela avatars. So these are the 10. And Lord Chaitanya is not shown here because he's not exactly a Leela avatar. He's not exactly a Leela avatar. He's performing pastimes, but he's not in this Das avatar list. He's a Leela avatar. He's performing pastimes, but he's more specifically the Yuga avatar, and that he's giving the Yuga Dharma for this age of Kali, the chanting of the holy name.
So Lord Chaitanya is Yuga
avatar. Yuga avatar. Yeah.
And Krishna and Balaram, where he was there in Vrindavan.
Krishna did many things. He came as a Leela avatar. He also came towards the end of Dwarpa Yuga. And in Dwarpa Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is not the same as this age. It's deity worship. So Krishna is not the Yuga avatar. Krishna is a Leela avatar. Are you confused?
A little bit, because Krishna is also a personality of God.
Oh, yes.
Himself.
Oh, yes. And as you see in the center, he's the source of all 10.
Yes. And the same Krishna, he was holding Gardhanil.
Yeah. That's what the painting that's on the right. So, let's do this. You're smiling.
Because I am adored. It is so nice. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he is Leela avatar in...
Yes,
in
he Dhamma. Appears. Here's how it works. You ready? It's fun. It's simple, too. Krishna is a source of all... He's a source of everything, including all avatars, but anything else you can think of, he's the source. He's the source. So, as the source, one of the things he does is he appears as one of the Leela avatars. He's the source of everything, including all Leela avatars, and he appears as one of the Leela avatars. And then there's a specific statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, who's listed in this list of avatars, by the way, he's the source of all the avatars, including he's the source of all avatars, including Krishna Balaram. He's the original. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the source of everything and everyone, although he appears as one of the avatars. Not a problem.
And he plays the role of a child and his mother.
Exactly. You got it. It looks like the audience has thinned out a whole lot. I think we should fold up. Any burning comment, question? Someone wants to participate with this discussion? I see one hand.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question about Prahlad Maharaj and how he was given he had gone through a lot with his father Hiranyakashipu and put through a lot of miseries. But he still had that continuous faith in Nrisimhadev Krishna. So how can we cultivate some of that faith like Prahlad Maharaj?
Well, the how-to questions. By associating with nice devotees. The short answer is sadhu sangha. By sadhu sangha, you can develop qualities beyond your existing qualities. Find exalted sadhus associate with them, serve them, hear from them, remember them, glorify them, become sadhu oriented, aligned, and those that the endowments that you're carrying today will expand, and your ability to be a superlative devotee compared to a nice devotee will follow. Sadhu Sangha is the path to follow. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.